Hello all, you are listening to the Wolverine Berserker Podcast. I'm Josh.
You sure you're on the right side?
Actually, what I mean is you're listening to the newly renamed The Best There Is, a Wolverine Podcast. And I'm still Josh.
Lousy luck.
The reason it's been so long is it's just really busy and scheduling and money issues, just keeping up with the comics. We actually did record an episode in summer, me and a couple others who... Thomas and Robert, who will be on next episode as co-hosts, but I decided not to put that one out because I knew I wouldn't be able to keep it up consistently, so I wanted to wait till a point where I knew I could keep up every month. So for now on, this will be a monthly podcast. Expect it around probably the first week of every month, going over the month before. So actually at the end of this month, around New Year's-ish, we're going to record the December episode, and that'll be out in early January. So I'm shooting for the weekend after the last Wednesday of every month. That way you'll get the podcast the beginning of the next month. For example, you'll get our March podcast with all the stuff about March, probably around the first week of April, maybe in time for April Fool's. Not. It will be a monthly podcast, and maybe with some occasional extra episodes. We, and by we I mean a couple other people that are helping me out with this, have a few ideas for some extra episodes we can throw in there. Not really sure when or if those will come out, but what you can count on is once a month the podcast will be coming out with the same format, everything. So it's actually a pretty exciting time right now for the Wolverine titles with the reboot and all that stuff with the new set of books, which is pretty much nothing new except for the X-23 book, but just more of a reassigning with new names because... The new Wolverine is pretty much the Wolverine Weapon X, and Dark Wolverine just got sent off to dock in Dark Wolverine, and Wolverine's still in the New Avengers and his teams and all that stuff. But it's good to keep it more organized now, and it's not so cluttered anymore. Just with all the, why isn't Wolverine in the Wolverine book? Is it Dark Wolverine? Is that different than Wolverine? All these questions. Now it's actually just clear. If you want to read about Dawkins, you'll get Dawkins Dark Wolverine. If you want to read about Wolverine, you'll get Wolverine, and so on. So, thank you for getting rid of that confusion, Marvel. So, for this episode, it should be pretty short and sweet, not too long, because there's going to be another episode pretty soon, considering it's already a little bit into December, halfway in December almost, and the December podcast will be coming out pretty early in January. But on the plate for today is no news. The character bio is going to be Bloodscream. The reviews today, there's only going to be three of them, will be Wolverine number 3, Dawkins Dark Wolverine number 3, and X-23 number 3. So convenient how they're all the same numbering, obviously because they start in the same month. And the Wolverine classic will be X-Men Unlimited number 9 from December 1995. The story Horse Latitudes, that's written by Larry Hama and Val Simmicks, featuring Bloodscream. What a coincidence that this is the same episode that he has a character bio in. And that's pretty much it. So instead of a normal little discussion, not much of a discussion in the previous episodes anyways, because I'm talking to myself, so it's not really a discussion, unless of course I'm Deadpool, and I just like talk to myself and be crazy, which I guess isn't too far off. But in place of that, I'm just going to go over, after each review, what I feel about each individual series and where they're going to go from here, and my evaluation of the first three issues of each one and what I think, and should you pick it up or not. So enough rambling on. I think we should go straight into the character bio, which this month is Bloodscream. So Bloodscream, also known as Bloodsport, is one of Wolverine's earliest enemies. He made his first appearance in Wolverine number 4 of the original ongoing series. He's a vampire, and he's not a typical one, though. He can do a bunch of other stuff, such as shape-shifting, mind control, and he's very fast. And he also possesses a very powerful healing factor. In fact, he can actually, like, reattach his head if it comes off. One weird thing about him is that he can actually, in some cases, get his victims that he's, like, bitten and stuff, and basically turn them into these weird zombie-like things. But yeah, Bloodscream, he's a vampire. That's pretty much the most important thing. So, a little history about him. Bloodscream was once a 16th century sailor whom a necromancer, I've never known how to pronounce that, turned into a pseudo-vampire, a condition that can only be cured by drinking an immortal's blood. During the 20th century, he serves as a soldier in Nazi Germany from 1935 to 1945. Damn Nazi. He sees action during World War II, and first encountered the man known only as Logan, who would later become Wolverine, during the Battle of Normandy. And, yeah, I think we all know about the Battle of Normandy. And if you don't, kids, pay attention in school, please. When Wolverine is corporal of the Canadian forces. Yes, Canadians were also involved. They're not just America's hat. The two engage in a brief battle, with Bloodscream being stabbed and left for dead. He runs into Wolverine decades later in Madripoor, and if I remember, that's Wolverine number 4. And he notices that Wolverine hasn't aged at all over the years. This leads Bloodscream to believe that Wolverine's blood will work in the formula to transform him into a human. He properly introduces himself to Wolverine while working in Madripoor as a criminal enforcer with his partner Roughhouse. Big, stupid guy. During this time, he often comes into conflict with Wolverine, who at the time is in his alter ego's Patch, though he's never able to defeat him. He nearly kills one of Wolverine's close friends, Archie Corrigan, managing to scar his chest with a handprint before being interrupted. After he parts company with Roughhouse, Bloodscream enters a partnership with Scylla Markham of the Reavers, who at that point is tracking Wolverine for reasons of her own. He joins her in tracking Wolverine because he's looking for him too, all throughout the high Canadian wilderness, and they finally locate him. Though both he and Scylla, or I'm assuming that's how it's pronounced, are near death from hunger and fatigue. Knowing he has no chance against Wolverine unless he's at his peak, Bloodscream turns on Scylla and drains her of her blood. That bastard. Bloodscream then confronts Wolverine, who is armed with the honor sword of the clan Yoshida. The sword is a katana forged by Dean blacksmiths from a fallen meteorite. As the sword wasn't forged by mortal men, Bloodscream is vulnerable to it and is struck down by Wolverine, who again leaves him for dead. He should have watched Zombieland double tapped, because, I mean, you never leave someone for dead. Especially if someone's trying to kill you, finish them off. If you leave them for dead, you know they're going to come back. It's stupid. Come on. I mean, all those dudes in Mortal Kombat know what's up. They don't want to fight you again. When's everybody else going to figure it out? You think that these people would learn.
Save your breath.
However, Bloodscream later reappears. Apparently having turned over a new leaf, he works with Albert and LCD for a while. This reform was short-lived, though, and Bloodscream reverts to villainy and begins working as a mercenary again with Roughhouse. He encounters Wolverine a few more times and has recently been involved in a confrontation with Iron Man in which he was beaten. It seems like, for a guy who seems pretty powerful, Bloodscream pretty much never wins. But when do bad guys ever win, except for Norman Osborn? And he has appeared in the X-Men, the animated series, episode 16, Whatever It Takes.
You used to backstab people for fun.
So yeah, Bloodscream. Pretty creepy looking dude. I just know him as the guy who's always wearing sunglasses at night with the weird white hair. But mind you, that still is pretty creepy. He actually looks a lot like an evil Raiden from the Mortal Kombat movie. But that is it, and so it looks like it's time to move on to reviews.
It's adamantium tasting time, boys!
So the first book we're going over today is Wolverine number 3, written by Jason Aaron and Renato Guedes. I hope I did not butcher that. So pretty much Wolverine is in hell. That's where we left him off in Wolverine 2, but actually he's been there since the first one. So what we have is a bunch of old enemies getting another shot at Logan because they're in hell and he's in hell. So the devil's pretty much setting up fights between them and just allowing them to go after him and get back at him for sending them there. Because, you know, Wolverine has sent his share of bad guys down to hell. And so pretty much what we see is the devil's trying to break him, and he realizes that physical pain is not going to be enough to break Wolverine. He's not your typical weak. He's not going to get broken. I mean, he's gone through so much pain in his life that physical pain, it's really just not going to get to him. So he decides to go emotional by hurting those close to him and like bringing in people from his past. And, you know, like he already killed off the Silver Samurai because he's in hell and brings him down there. And he's just going back and killing a bunch of people. And obviously, number one on the list will be Melita Garner. So for those of you that read Wolverine Weapon X, you obviously know her from that, which is really weird because I thought she was black. And it seems that she got some weird race change. Maybe she got like a little Michael Jackson disease going on there. I don't know what that's called. But yeah, but that's no big deal anyways. But yeah, those of you that don't know or haven't read the first couple issues of Wolverine, she is Wolverine's girlfriend, and he's actually getting ready to settle down with her, kind of. Of course, you know, settling down as much as Wolverine can. And she's basically in danger. She's on the run with Mystique, and there's a pretty funny panel there because Wolverine gave her a list of numbers to call in case she was in danger and he couldn't help her. And so she actually calls up Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's like, "Hello? You're what? Wolverine's girlfriend? Yeah, good one. And I'm Howard the Duck." And just hangs up on her. And so that was pretty funny, because he couldn't believe it. "Spider-Man, you douchebag, help her out." But the Mystique's all like, "Oh, you can't, he's not going to help you anyways." And so she's just on the run, because they think she's in danger. She wants to help, and they ask her, "Do you really love Logan enough to put yourself in that kind of danger?" They don't really think she knows what she's getting herself into, because we're not talking just death, we're talking about going to hell and stuff. And so she says, "Yeah." And she doesn't just say yeah. She actually starts getting pissed at them for wasting her time with these questions. And so I guess if you don't know who she is already, I think you can kind of get a clue why Wolverine really likes her. Hope she doesn't die, because I actually really like her. Yeah, this was another solid issue in this whole Wolverine goes to hell story. Of course, he's already in hell, so I don't know about going there. Going there has already happened. Standing alone, I wouldn't say this is like the greatest issue. By the way, by no means am I saying it's bad. But overall, the story is shaping up pretty well. It looks like the sum will be greater than its parts, or whatever you say that. Like the final product will be greater than the sum of its parts. Aha! It's not the typical Wolverine story where he's like slicing and dicing, just killing everybody. And I like saying that, slice and dice. Just for like the whole book, this is more of an emotional story. The art is there's nothing to complain about the art. It's good. So I give this one a B+. As far as the series goes so far, I really like it. This is my favorite book right now. And yeah, I just really like Jason Aaron. And when I say I really like Jason Aaron, it's not because I'm just going to like everything he does. Because there's a reason I like everything he does. Because so far, what he's done on Wolverine Weapon X and so far into this, everything he's done has been good. He seems to really understand Wolverine, and he can get into his head. I don't read Punisher Max, but I think I should. I just don't have any money for it. This story right here is a breath of fresh air from the whole Romulus mess that went on near the end of the Dark Wolverine run, and along with Wolverine Origins and all that stuff. Frankencastle, after that. Aaron's Weapon X has really transitioned well to the main Wolverine title. I mean, it's pretty much the same series. Like I said earlier, it's not really a new series. It's just the renaming of them. Because now Dark Wolverine, which was all confusing, is now just Dawkins Dark Wolverine. Thank you for clearing that up. Now, Wolverine Weapon X is just moving on over to Wolverine, because Wolverine Weapon X was really the main Wolverine book if you wanted to read stories about Logan. So I just moved that over to the Wolverine title. So in my eyes, nothing's really changed. Everything is the way I saw it before. The Wolverine Weapon X was telling good Wolverine stories. And if you haven't read it, I recommend going back and buying the trades, because that was a really good series. And so although I'm not a big fan of reboots and renumberings, I do think this is the best time, because it's pretty much starting a new, cutting off that whole Origins era, which the actual series was very hit or miss, I thought. But I just didn't like the main story of Romulus being behind everything in Wolverine's life. Like, he was pulling the strings. Like, Wolverine was never in control. I just don't like that. I try to just ignore it, but when I go back and read old Wolverine stories, I'm like thinking in my head, oh, so they think Romulus was the reason he did this and that. Just doesn't feel right. I'm sure there's some people out there that liked it. It just wasn't me. So this is a good time. I think this is good timing. So that's all I really got to say about that. I think Marvel did the smart thing and made Wolverine Weapon X the main Wolverine title, pretty much. I think that they were planning on this all along and gave Aaron Weapon X either to get the fans acquainted with him or to see how he would write Wolverine stories before giving him the job. But I think that this was the plan all along. After the whole Origins and Dark Wolverine and everything came to an end, they were going to hand this over to him. I say this series is actually a must-buy right now, because it really is the only Wolverine book out there. What I actually do really like about this is you don't have to buy any more titles to keep up with the story. I really like it when the stories connect, like the other series, like Dawkins right now. It's connecting right now with Wolverine, and X-23 is kind of connecting right now with Wolverine, but you don't need to buy those stories to keep it up. You won't have any plot holes if you don't go out and buy them. So I really like that. I hate it when you have to buy another issue to keep up with it. So if you just want plain Wolverine, you'll get your Wolverine. You don't have to be asking questions of, well, this wasn't explained. Oh, you have to buy this book. So it's cool if you can just keep it up with this one, and it's good. You don't have to worry about any more. And that's pretty much it. So I'd say this one is a thumbs up.
Yeah.
So now we got Dawkins, Dark Wolverine number 3. This one is written by Daniel Way and Marjorie Liu, with art by Giuseppe Comancoli. So pretty much it's Dawkins. It's a Wolverine son, for those of you that are not sure or are new. And I guess you either love him or you hate him. Or you're like me and you hate him, but you don't hate the character. What I mean is that, yeah, Dawkins is a dick.
Meaning what?
I'm just going to say it. He is. He's a douchebag. And I really don't like him. But the character, I see why he's here. And actually, if you think about it, he is a little bit of a sympathetic character. He really had no chance at life but to be a bad guy. But, you know, right now he's kind of on the fence of whether he's bad or is he good. He's kind of, I would compare him similar to almost like a Jason Todd right now over in Batman. Even though I haven't, if I'm completely wrong about that comparison, it's because I haven't read any Batman stuff in the last few months. But last time I read Jason Todd stuff was would compare him, because he was kind of like, he wants to be good, but he doesn't want to be like Wolverine, just like Jason Todd wants to be better than Batman. But let's talk about Batman, and let's get back to this. I understand people that absolutely hate him for like, oh, he's making like Wolverine emo, or it's not, we want Wolverine, we don't need any of this other complicated stuff, and the whole Romulus mess, like I said before. And so I understand that. But so here we go. So it's his book now, and so really what do you expect is, the story really doesn't have that much action. There's a little bit in the beginning. What we've come to see with Dawkins is there's a lot of him thinking to himself, talking out loud to himself, and then a flashback of his past, because we're learning more about his past, and then, so this has pretty much been a usual thing for him in his books. So really not much going on. We see a little bit of his relationship with the Fantastic Four at the end, mostly just Johnny, because he you can see that, you know, he actually does care about Dawkins. He's a little worried when he seems a little worried about him, and then he looks very upset when he thinks that Dawkins dead. So we see that there, but really nothing really happened. The series itself has been okay. It's not for everybody, but this issue, nothing really happened. Just a slow moving, and the art was okay. Art was good. I think it's weaker than the other two books, but I mean it's not bad. And so I'll give this one a C+. It wasn't terrible, but it really wasn't much. But we'll wait to see what happens in number four. Okay, now back to Dokken. Like I said, you either love him or you hate him. It seems that most people I know hate him more than they love him. So, but for me, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm on the fence. I kind of want to like him, and I understand why he's there. He is the exact opposite of everything Wolverine is. Wolverine is like, you know, tough, like blue collar type dudes, and then Dokken, I'm sure I've talked about this before, is more like the I mean, I guess what Arnold would call a girly man. But yeah, he's, I wouldn't say girly man, but he's, well, yeah, of course he is bi, but he's more the, you know, classy, you know, just like your typical, like, Wolverine drinks beer, he'll drink wine, champagne, you know, just, you know what I mean? I don't think I need to explain this. It's just like, he's like the, also, I kind of like the fact that he's so deceiving and all the stuff he does, you know, I find it kind of interesting, entertaining. But don't worry for those of you that hate him, I mean, because he's off the main book, and now he's on his own. I really think he'll have less influence on the main story from now on. Wei and Lu had their chance, they told their story, and now it's time to move on. So he's on his thing. So I believe that this is his chance to go find himself. They're going over stuff that they couldn't fit in before. They got the origin done, and now it's for us to really see who Dokken is. I'd say don't buy this book with hopes for like a Wolverine story. I mean, someone might see Dark Wolverine and think that it actually is a Wolverine book, but I think we all know that he is completely a different character, because it's a lot different. It's a lot slower than Wolverine stories. I'm not saying that Dokken's any less vicious, because he may be even more, but it is a lot slower. But if it's interesting to see a new character begin to develop and grow from this point. He is Lu and Wei's character, and whatever they do to him is true to their image or vision of what he is, so nothing's going to be not true to character, because it's their creation. You can't question them. It's their character. Just like the whole J.K. Rowling thing, people telling her that she doesn't understand her own characters. Sorry, she made them. By the way, I don't like Harry Potter. But yeah, so they got the origin out of the way, and now it's time to see if Dokken is going to become an interesting character, something that will keep him around, or is he going to fade away into obscurity and just disappear? Maybe he'll go somewhere completely away from Wolverine and just, you know, maybe he'll do something that, you know, we weren't really expecting and end up being a main character somewhere else. But we will see. Like I said, this book is not for everyone. But if you liked what was going on with Origins and you liked what was going on with the whole Romulus thing, then pick it up. I mean, I saw nothing wrong. I mean, this issue I thought was a little weaker, but the series seems a little promising, so pick it up.
Join me, but you will have your revenge.
So next up is X-23 number 3. This one's written by Marjorie Liu with excellent art by Will Conrad and Sana Takeda. This one was a little bit confusing. I will admit that I had to read it twice to really get a clue what was going on. Maybe I was just really tired, but it was pretty confusing. I mean, here's why. I mean, he's under this weird dreamlike spell of the possessed Wolverine, which if you're not keeping up, Wolverine's in hell, like we said before. And so the devil's like basically using his body like a little toy, just messing around with him. I mean, I guess if I wanted to go around killing people, that'd be the perfect body to take. And so he's just running around just wreaking havoc. So he puts X-23... under a spell, weird dreamlike state, and she's being put through flashbacks. And then in these flashbacks, she has her own thoughts, and she has thoughts being put in her mind by Hellion. And so it's just, what's going on? Confused. And all this is happening in the alternate reality by the imposter Wolverine. So in the end, after killing a bunch of these vicious dogs and stuff, and using her own will, she's able to, like, overpower the evil Wolverine and push her out of her mind. And she breaks free from, like, the weird delusion because he's just torturing her with his mind games. And don't worry, since it was just a delusion, no dogs were hurt in the creating of this comic. But so basically she wakes up and everything seems back normal, you know, as normal as it can get for X-Men. No, she's like laying on the ground, there's blood all over, but they don't know whose blood it is, and nobody's dead, even though Hellion got killed in the last one. And Storm and Gambit are there, and Hellion's like, whoa, what happened? I have no idea. And he doesn't remember anything. And they bring him back, and Laura X-23, for those of you that aren't familiar with the character, she's not talking. So basically, the X-Men are just like, we're not getting anything out of this, and she's not cooperating and all that stuff. So they really don't know what happened. Only she knows. And basically, Gambit's like, you know, I think it's best for her to leave. Get out of here. He's like, I wouldn't be surprised if she's already gone. And what do you know? She does. Against Storm's pleas to stay, asking her to stay, and she's like, nah, I gotta get out. And, I mean, Gambit even said the X-Men have become a prison for her. So now she's on her own and stuff, and basically just like similar to the whole Dawkins story, it's like her little soul search to go find who she is. Yeah, it was a good issue. Though confusing, it was good. The art right now is probably the best art out of the three books, in my opinion. But that's just my taste, and I think I just think the art was really good. And this was a good conclusion to the reintroduction of a new X-23 that Marjorie Liu is basically taking the head of. I'm not a huge X-23 fan, but this book leaves me wanting to read some more. The first little mini arc here was pretty good. I'll have to give it a... This issue was a B+. And as far as the series goes, it's been solid so far. I mean, the whole starting new and fresh and stuff, like she checked herself into a halfway house just to, like, you know, basically starting her over. And so now this is basically Liu. I said Liu, Marjorie Liu, is taking this one over, and this is like her book. I mean, she's also helping out with Dawkins, but this is hers. And she's doing a really good job with the character. I was a little cautious after she stole my 399 earlier this year with that one shot, but this series has really been a pleasant surprise. I'm no X-23 expert, but I do feel she understands the character. This is obviously a must-buy for fans of X-23, and if you're a casual fan with room on your pull list, I say, what the hell, might as well give this one a shot.
So read my mind.
I'd rather not.
Come on. You afraid you might like it?
Okay, for the Wolverine Classic, we have X-Men Unlimited number 9. That's the first X-Men Unlimited series, Volume 1. This came out December 1995, and it's titled Horse Latitudes. It's written by Larry Hama, with art by Val Semeix. So what's going on is Psylocke and Beast are off the coast of Florida with Lee Forrester. They met her down there. She's the captain of the ship Arcadia. She recently picked up a man who was floating out at sea and was acting all crazy. They first just thought he was just like dehydrated and all that other stuff, and he was seeing things, being by himself. He was just floating out there on a raft, right? And but when they were talking, when he was like explaining what happened, it sounded very similar to Bloodscream. We got Beast, Psylocke, and Lee. So they're sitting there on the boat and they're just like hanging out, right? And they're waiting, and they keep talking about, he's late. He won't be, like, where is he? He said he was going to be here. And they keep referring to someone as he. And they keep talking about this person that they're going to meet, and how he immediately dropped everything that he was doing at the time just because he heard Bloodscream was involved, and he said he'd meet them down here. And obviously, the he is Wolverine. So finally, he arrives, and then they go down and see the guy, and Psylocke goes and reads his mind. Wolverine immediately recognizes Bloodscream just by the description that they give. And against the dude's wishes, they go out and they go out and look for him. And the guy's like scared to death. So they come to this weird fog, and the guy's like screaming like, "No, don't go in!" and everything. And Wolverine's just like, "It's just smoke on the water, bub." And the guy's just like, he's looking at the fog and he's like, he's not scared of the fog. He's just scared of what's in the fog. And this is the fog. It's a good movie. Well, okay, not the Tom Welling one, but the John Carpenter one with Jamie Lee Curtis. I was like, this is exactly it. So what, we can have a bunch of pirates or something to come around killing people? Ghost dudes? Makes sense, because Bloodscream's kind of a paranormal dude anyways. He's a vampire. And so we get there, and just as I expected, a ship approaches, and it's pirates. Bloodscream is now a pirate, and he's the captain, and he's like just basically talking pirate. Like, arr, ye, whatever, scurvy dogs, and avast, ahoy, whatever, chips ahoy. And his crew is, remember when we talked about that he can, like, possess people and control them and stuff, and that's what he's doing. His crew is from other, he had been attacking ships and taking their crew and becoming his. It was kind of similar to, I guess, Pirates of the Caribbean when Davy Jones gets him, and when you die, you become part of his crew. So pretty much like that. He's just taking crew members. It's a pretty motley crew. So then he sees him, and Wolverine talks about how he should have killed him in Canada. I mean, come on. Double tap, remember? And then they go and they fight. Actually, Bloodscream still knows him as Patch. So when he talks to him as, oh, look, it's Patch. Or, ahoy, there be Patch. Or something along those lines. And so Wolverine and Psylocke take Bloodscream while Beast puts down the crew. Like, he's not, like, killing them. He's just, like, knocking them out because, you know, they're not really bad guys and stuff. During the fight, Wolverine gets hit by a cannonball and gets attacked by a shark.
Got bit by a dog, too.
And then they unknowingly enter this weird, strange, bubbly force field thing. And in the center is, like, a tiny floating island just in the middle. They escape from Bloodscream. He kind of lets off and leaves and stuff. He kind of leaves them alone, which gives you the feeling that he led them there for a reason. They find out that the island, in fact, is booby-trapped, and they like, carefully make their way to the center. There's like these psychic mines that are floating. It's invisible, but Psylocke's able to show them, so they have to go around them. And so once they get there, they find this giant hole that goes all the way through to the bottom of the island. And then when they get there, they're looking down, they look up, and there is the evil sorcerer, Belasco. He uses magic powers to trap Beast and Wolverine in these, like, cages with these, like, seemingly unbreakable energy bars. It's like plasma something something. And then he traps Psylocke in a crystal, and he uses her power to summon Nagara. It's like this demon from an alternative plane. It comes in through the hole, which we find out now is actually a portal to their plane of existence. So the demon comes out and takes out Belasco. Well, that went well. What a moron. That was his plan. And then, so Beast figures out a way to break the bars by pulling on them really hard. Okay. They couldn't have done that before. And so then Wolverine kills the Nagara, and the end. That was it.
Well, what do you know?
Not. Belasco is not dead. He attacks them and uses his magic to open the portal all the way, like, super wide. And the island splits in half. Originally, Wolverine and Beast thought that his goal was just to unleash the Nagara demon upon Earth and just basically just go around just destroying stuff. But instead, Belasco explains that his intentions were, in fact, to go into the plane and conquer them and bring back an army of Nagara to conquer the world so he can be like a god again. So, as the island is deteriorating and everyone is getting sucked into the portal, Bloodscream's like, yes, we win, alright, party. And Wolverine explains to him, dude, you just got used, man. And so, Bloodscream's like, not cool. And so he's like, Belasco, I'm gonna get you for this. And Belasco's just like, whatever, and just like zaps him with this magic beam thing and just flies off and really shows how useless Bloodscream is. And so from the outside of the bubble, Lee is still sitting there on her boat with the crazy guy. Though he's not crazy, because we now see that all the stuff he was seeing before was true. So he's not crazy. Don't tell him he's crazy, okay? Anyway, they're still sitting there on the boat, which is floating safely outside the bubble. Lee figures out that the crystal, she's like looking in, kind of observing what's going on. She figures out that the crystal is what gave Belasco all his power. And so she pulls out her rifle, scopes in, and shoots it, and it frees Psylocke. And Blaster's like, no! But then he's all like, oh, but I can still beat you guys. Oh, what? I'm Belasco. I'm cool. I'm powerful. And then they're kind of looking up at the portal and going, have fun with that. We don't really want to fight you. So they just dive out of the bubble and safely get away, and Belasco gets sucked in with the and all that stuff, and the whole island just gets sucked in. The end. I mean, what'd you expect, right? The villains never, their plan never works. They're not gonna win. But they are a resilient bunch. And that was X-Men Unlimited number 9.
We work as a team.
It was pretty campy. I liked it, though. What do you expect? It was fun. Although Wolverine is, I like him the best when he's by himself, going solo, you know? It's fun sometimes seeing him in another group. Just like when I read the New Avengers, I like seeing him mixing with other people, get the little banter going. It was a overall, it was just a fun book. Nothing too serious, really. Pirates and a few witty one-liners, a few silly, corny, cheesy jokes, especially the dialogue for Beast. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing really to complain. It was just a, I like it. That's it. That settles it.
You don't know, do you?
So that just about wraps it up for episode 5 of The Best There Is, a Wolverine podcast. And yeah, thanks for listening. And you can expect episode 6 probably around the first week of January. You will meet Robert and Thomas in that one. They'll be my co-hosts. And also, this is to anybody out there who wants to co-host. If you want to get your opinion out there, we'd love to have you out of the discussion. I mean, the more the merrier, as long as there's not like 10 people, which I highly doubt 10 people would want to. But yeah, just send me an email at wolverinepodcast@yahoo.com. And please check out the blog at wolverinepodcast.blogspot.com. That's where I put all the reviews and any other random stuff, news stories. And it's pretty up to date. I usually get the reviews in the week they come out. Comment on the reviews or the podcast episodes on the blog or the Podomatic page. It lets me know if anybody out there is listening. Or just give me any kind of feedback. That'd be cool. And there's actually links to all the other stuff from the blog. And you could leave an iTunes review. That'd be really cool. In fact, that'd be awesome. And as far as the books we're going to cover, we're going to stick to 3 main books. Doc and Dark Wolverine, Wolverine, and X-23. Along with any one-shots that come out. I'm pretty sure there's a one-shot coming out next month. And there's also a new series. And we'll talk more about those. Of course, next month will be this month, assuming that you're listening to it in December. Which is why we're going to start getting out earlier in the month from now on. And also, we're going to try to include into our reviews like a couple of the other books that Wolverine's on a team, such as New Avengers or X-Men or Uncanny X-Men, or I think he's on the Avengers too right now. And those team books might go arc to arc. Like, we might cover it, and then we might cover it if Wolverine's a major player in a story, and then maybe we'll drop it and switch to, we'll do like New Avengers one arc, and then we'll go switch to X-Men, or we'll go back and forth. We'll figure it out. I just need to, next couple months will be a little experimental, because I want to see how the time goes. I don't want this thing to drone on for hours if we have too many books, but I want to get as many as I can, just for seeing you guys can keep up with what's going on, in case you are reading it and you want to hear what we think. Or you're not reading it and you want to find out what's going on. So that's that. And so once again, thanks for listening to The Best There Is, a Wolverine podcast. And happy holidays, whatever you celebrate. Happy Festivus to everybody. I don't care what you are. Happy Festivus anyways. And we'll see you in the new year. Adios.